ప్రేమస్వరూపులారు.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam. The most happening place on the planet, I am Team Vedesa S. Bishu. Today is February 20th, 2020. So it is 2020. And in 2 days, we are going to have Prashanthi Nilayam. And every home that feels like Prashanthi Nilayam, every center that feels like Prashanthi Nilayam, every community that feels like a Sai community, join their voices and in all energy soak themselves in the 12 hours Akhanda Bhajan, non-stop chanting and contemplation on the Lord, on Lord Shiva, on the Supreme Principle, on the being who is beyond gunas, beyond all attributes, beyond all forms, guna atita, kala atita, Shiva Shankara. Shivratri has always been a very significant occasion in Prashanthi Nilayam right from the early years. And if you look at the attraction of Shivratri, if you look at the magic of Shivratri in Prashanthi Nilayam, if you look at the powerful vibrations that Shivratri used to evoke in Prashanthi Nilayam, it was the non-stop bhajans, whole night, from 6 to 6, continuous singing, and singing together, singing in unison. And of course, there were those exceptional years when Bhagwan blessed the devotees with the vision of the linga emanating from him. Those were the liberating years, years which saw a spectacle that was vouchsafed only to the lucky. It was that moment when divinity decided to part that veil and demonstrate to humanity what divine descent can do. It was a moment to shake everyone so that they come alive to the fact that the being among them is not ordinary just because he walks, he talks, just because he sings and he moves. He cannot be mistaken for like one of us. It was a moment of nidarshan, as Swami says, not pradarshan. It was a moment to let the world know the power that is in Prashanthi. Apart from the Lingodbhavam, the other highlight of Shivratri was the 2 discourses that Bhagwan used to deliver. One, at the start of the bhajan, and the other at the conclusion of the Akhanda Bhajan. So the bhajan was between the two potent discourses of Bhagwan. For many years it was held in the Purnachandra Auditorium, and later on in the Sai Kulwant Hall. And these discourses were suffused with how to sublimate our mind, how to sanctify our lives, how to learn from the Shiva principle. Bhagwan used to explain the meaning of three eyes of Shiva, the three leaves of the Bilva. He used to explain the Ganga emanating from the locks of Shiva. He used to explain the significance of Vibhuti smeared on the body of Shiva. He used to talk about Shiva's family. And Bhagwan used to also mention elaborately about Shiva's vehicle, Nandi. Nandi is just a bull. A bull which generally is busy working with the farmers in the fields or running around doing various errands. But the bull of Shiva is so special. The bull of Shiva is the channel for devotees to say their prayers to the Lord. If you go to any Shiva temple, and if you have your grandparents or the old timers with you, they would say, go and tell it in the ear of the Nandi, whatever is your wish, your prayer. Because if you say it in Nandi's ear, it will directly go to the Lord's heart. Because the Nandi is constantly looking at Shiva. Nandi's attention on Shiva is straight, clear, undistracted, seamless, and focused like laser. That is what Nandi is. How did an ordinary bull become Nandi? Bhagwan would say, it was only because of this one pointed attention of this bull that it became Nandi. And anyone who has such kind of mind which knows no distraction when it comes to divinity, a mind which sees nothing else but God, you can put anything around, but his gaze will be only on the Lord. When we have that kind of a mind, we may be even an animal, we may be a bull, but we will become an object of worship, and we'll become the vehicle of the Lord, will become a carrier of the devotee's prayers, we will become the Lord's instrument. And wherever the Lord is, we will be there. Wherever there is a temple of Shiva, you would find the Nandi. And the Nandi would always be facing the Lord. When you think about what the Nandi attained, to me it seems that whenever the Lord takes a human form, this is something that happens. Many times we may notice, we may not be able to absorb or observe, but this is what happens. When Rama came, you found so many who had that one pointed attention on Rama. Take the case of Shabari. Take the case of Guha, and of course Hanuman. When Krishna came, you had so many with kind of unflinching focus on the Lord. Take the gopis, take Radha, take Kunti, take Draupadi. And all of them became great instruments in the Lord's hands because of this only one thought that emanated from their mind, one vision, one work, one thought, one Lord, one love, one goal, one direction, one path, one objective, one vision, and they attained the union with the Lord. In this series, Beacons of Prashanthi Nilayam, I have been sharing with you stories of people who were so blessed to be chosen instruments of the Lord, and to me, the stories of these people are no less. Take the case of Mrs. Ratanlal, take the case of Mr. Raman Rao, or the story that I started in the previous week of Mr. KBR Prasad. Their lives show us how to have that one pointed concentration on the Lord. And when you have that, what kind of miracles manifest in your life? What kind of joy pervades your being? What kind of bliss you are in? So in the last episode, I told you about how Mr. KBR Prasad came to Bhagwan. 1975, during the 50th birthday celebrations, when so many things were going around in the Prashanthi Nilayam Ashram, the Poornachandra Auditorium green rooms were getting a new look. The Gopuram was being constructed, the Sarvadharma Stupa was being built, and it was at this time that Mr. KBR Prasad came to Prashanthi Nilayam, and I shared with you how that was such a revelatory experience for him, and how he tasted Swami's omnipresence, and also learnt the power of prayer. There were two very powerful anecdotes that I shared in the previous session. Continuing from there, so after Mr. Prasad completed the work in the Poornachandra Auditorium entrusted to him, somehow he did not feel like returning to Bengaluru, and he continued to serve the 50th birthday celebrations was on, and he thought he could be of use in some way. As I told you before, service had captured his heart. In those days, Professor Ramakrishna, as I mentioned before, was doing the installation and operation of the PA system, the public address system, in Mandir as well as in the Poornachandra Auditorium. And Professor Ramakrishna used to always take Mr. KBR Prasad along with him to familiarize Mr. Prasad with the equipment. Both of them were from the same institute, Indian Institute of Science. They were from the same department. Professor Ramakrishna was earlier the convener of the Sai Center where Mr. Prasad joined. So they both knew each other, and Professor Ramakrishna was so happy to see Mr. Prasad from his department joining him in Seva. And so he started involving him in the operation of the public address system. The equipment then was arranged in such a way that anyone sitting anywhere in the premises of Prashant Nilayam Ashram could listen to the proceedings in the Purnachandra Auditorium. But during 50th birthday celebrations, the crowds that were expected was not going to be ordinary. The crowd, everyone felt, would spill outside the Purnachandra Auditorium, and the whole of Puttaparthi would be filled with people, and that is how it was. And so they thought it would be nice if the proceedings of the Purnachandra Auditorium are heard not just in the Prashant Nilayam Ashram but also in the entire Puttaparthi town. So there was a suggestion that the system should be extended up to the Ishwarama High School. The Ishwarama High School was then used for car parking. So they felt that if up to Ishwarama School, Bhagwan's discourse and the proceedings can be heard, then it would help all the drivers, the sevadals, and there are so many people working so far away from the ashram, several meters away, also to benefit from Bhagwan's discourse and the programs in the Purnachandra Auditorium. And that work was entrusted to Mr. Prasad to ensure that the public address system is extended up to the Ishwarama School. Back then, all the area of about half kilometer from the Mandir to the Ishwarama High School was filled with groundnut fields. There was nothing. I'm talking about the 50th birthday of Bhagwan, 1975. There were no buildings, no shops. It was just groundnut fields. And so, Mr. Prasad started off with the work with the help of a few sevadal. He got pits dug and he fixed the poles at appropriate distances. And he did the wiring. He took the connection from the speaker located near the General Hospital. At that point in time, the General Hospital was where currently the Sai Srinivas guest house is, on top of the hill. So from there, Mr. Prasad laid down the wires and he amplified the sound, and he had fixed loudspeakers at various places. The only problem with this method was the noise in the amplifier was also to be amplified, because there's no other way you can take this sound from the Purnachandra Auditorium. You have to take it through the amplifier, and there will be a lot of noise also which will get amplified, and you cannot do anything about it. You didn't have the sophisticated systems that you have now. So Mr. Prasad did all the cabling up to the Ishwarama High School, and when the proceedings started, everything was heard, but what was really amazing was there was no noise that was heard. Mr. Prasad thought that the amplifier noise will definitely get enlarged, enhanced, and he was worried about the clarity of the sound. But to his utter surprise, pleasant surprise, the noise was totally absent and people could hear clearly and loudly. In fact, they were hearing it better than those in the auditorium. It was that clear. And no engineer could explain how this was happening. There was no way, particularly with the equipment available then, to filter the noise and the disturbance and release only the proceedings. There was no way you could do this. So for Mr. Prasad, this was another occasion when he felt this PA system, if it is doing what it is doing because the love of Bhagwan. It is doing because of the grace of Bhagwan. It is doing because it is in Prashantalim. It is a PA system of Prashantalim, and that's why it is so special. It is so different. It works on electricity, yes, but that's a very small part of the story. It works on divine energy. And Mr. Prasad says, in fact, the whole work of fixing poles, drawing the wire, installing the loudspeakers, connecting the system, testing, everything happened in an incredible time span of just 3 hours. Again, he said, anywhere else, this would not have been possible. But somehow, everything just got done in 3 hours. And the sound was so clear. Again and again, Mr. Prasad was learning how Prashanti is special, Prashanti is different, what makes Prashanti operate is not what you see on the outside. There are layers and layers and layers of what we do not see, what makes Prashanti work. So after the birthday was over, all the Sevadal were to be assembled. Swami was to give them prasadam and also Pada Namaskar, the chance to touch his feet. In those days, Bhagwan would bless every Sevadal member with vibhuti and photograph and the chance to touch his feet. So Mr. Prasad was told that Bhagwan was giving this chance to all the Sevadals the next day. The previous evening, Mr. Prasad had gone to the bus stand to see off some of his friends, and when he was bidding them off, suddenly something happened to him and he felt this urge to leave for Bangalore. And he came back to his room, immediately picked up his baggage, and he too, instead of just sending those other people off, he also jumped into the bus and left for Bangalore. It was just suddenly something happened, some urge that he has to go back. And so he was not there next day when Swami was giving prasadam to all the Sevadal. And when Bhagwan came and Swami was distributing prasadam, suddenly Swami inquired, where is Prasad? Mind you, this is the first time Bhagwan is actually asking about him. There has not been any interaction with Mr. Prasad before, except for the previous occasion when, as told you, he brought some workers. Suddenly, it's almost like Swami knows this person and Swami is asking, where is Prasad? And so someone said, Swami, he said he will stay on, but we don't know. He's not there today, but yesterday he had said that he will stay on. And then Swami said, I know. On seeing some people board the bus, he also felt like going. Swami said that. Mr. Prasad came to know about this later, after he reached Bangalore. So Mr. Prasad came back to Prashantam again, now for Vaikuntha Ekadashi, which generally in the month of January, so this was November, 2-3 months had passed, and now he was given the chance to serve in the canteen. So while he was busy serving in the South Indian canteen, which was the only canteen then, one day, Mr. B.V. Raman Rao came to him. He came to basically the entire group of people who were serving there in the canteen, and he asked, is there anyone in Hyderabad Sevadal acquainted with the public address system? And there was no answer. Mr. Prasad was there, but he too felt that it is better he keeps quiet. He did not get up and volunteer. So Mr. Raman Rao went back to Swami and said, Swami, there is no one who can handle the PA system. And Bhagwan immediately asked Mr. Raman Rao, what did you ask them? So Mr. Rao repeated, Swami, I said, is there anyone in from Hyderabad who can handle the PA system? And Swami immediately said, that is the problem. You said Sevadil from Hyderabad, go back. And now ask again, is there anyone who can operate the public address system? So Mr. Rao came back and went again to this group and he asked, is there anyone who can knows how to handle the public address system? And immediately Mr. Prasad got up and he said, yes, I can operate. And Mr. Raman Rao said, why did you keep quiet when I asked you earlier? And he said, sir, because you said, is there anyone from Hyderabad? And I am from Bangalore. So that is how Bhagavan picked again Mr. Prasad from the canteen and brought him to the Purnachandra Auditorium to handle the public address system. As I told before, Professor Ramakrishna had showed him earlier the place where the equipment was kept. So Mr. Prasad went, took the equipment out. All the equipment in those days used to be kept in the Purnachandra Auditorium. And it was a practice then that Bhagwan would come to the Purnachandra Auditorium and get into his car whenever he went anywhere outside. And when he returned to, he would go inside the Purnachandra Auditorium, alight from the car in the auditorium and then come to the mandir, return to the mandir. That was the practice in those days. So one day, when Swami was walking back from the Purnachandra Auditorium, he had gone somewhere. He alighted from the car and now he was walking to the mandir. And that is when Swami suddenly saw Mr. Prasad. And Swami asked, what Prasad? You left without taking Prasadam? And Mr. Prasad was stunned. And this is something that had happened like 2-3 months ago. After the birthday, he had left to Bengaluru. He was not there when Swami was giving Prasadam to all the Sevadals, but Swami suddenly saw Prasad and said, hey, we left without taking Prasadam. And Swami asked, what happened? Why did you leave on that day? And Mr. Prasad didn't know what to say. And the compassionate Bhagwan now took out apples from his car and Swami gave it to him. And Swami said, Prasad, take this Prasadam and take Padnamaskar. So specially, Swami gave Mr. Prasad the chance to touch his feet and give the apple as Prasadam. And Mr. Prasad was overwhelmed with joy. Here was a Lord that was remembering him and specially blessing him. He had missed to take his blessings after the birthday, and here was Bhagwan remembering that and conferring that on him and doing it one to one. And in fact, Swami was lovingly chiding him for going away without taking Prasadam. And Swami, with so much love, gave him the chance to touch his feet and blessed him. And for Mr. Prasad, that was one moment which brought tears in his eyes. He was serving in the canteen. Swami calls for him and tells, no, ask for that person who can look after the PA system. And now Swami calls him near and says, why did you go away without taking my blessings? And specially gives him an apple, gives him the chance to do his work, take care of the PA system. And from then on, it was Mr. Prasad's responsibility to handle the PA system. In fact, there were some people from Mumbai who used to come on special occasions to handle the equipment, but after Mr. Prasad got this opportunity, he started handling the entire responsibility. In 2 years, he knew everything about it, and he, for any occasion in Prashanthalam, he would come early from Bangalore and he would go late. He would look after the entire responsibility of handling the PA system in Prashanthinalayam. And that is how it continued right from 1975 till 2011, till Bhagwan was there. And even now, Mr. Prasad continues to do this work more than 45 years. And he continues to be the channel through which every beautiful vibration in Prashant Nilayam gets amplified. When I look at his life, when I think about how Bhagwan pulled him, when I think about how Bhagwan purified him and how Bhagwan created such a beautiful instrument out of him, it reminds me of Mrs. Ratanlal, who was Swami's chosen one to make food for him, to look after him, to mother him. It reminds me of Professor Kasturi, who was the chosen one to write his biography. There are so many who were chosen ones with specific tasks. Mr. Pedareddy had the opportunity to look after Sai Geeta, again a chosen one. Similarly, Mr. Prasad is the chosen one to look after the public address system. He was the one who always put mics for Bhagwan. He was the one who looked after that equipment which amplified Bhagwan's discourses. He was the one that Swami always waited for every occasion for the function to be successful. He was the one who switched on the instrumental bhajans when Bhagwan came for darshan. He was the one who was always there before Bhagwan came and left, long after Swami left. His life was tied to Bhagwan's darshans, every proceeding in the divine physical presence. That is the life of Mr. Prasad. It is a life which was so pure that the Lord wanted to pick it up and use as his instrument so that his message could reach out to many, so that people would know what it is to be a flute in the hands of the Lord. As I share with you more stories from his life, you will get an idea of what it means when you say, I want to become an instrument in his hands. I want to become a flute in the hands of Krishna, in the hands of that Muralidhara.
Madhusudana Muralidhara. Thank you.
So that is how Bhagwan has created so many flutes. They are all very silent and they love to be silent. But it is through them that the melody of his work, of his mission has continued for not just days, weeks, months and years, for decades together. So in those days, Mr. Prasad used to come to Prashantalayam for every function because he handled the public address system. He was the one who always placed the mic for Bhagwan. In those days, they used to stay under the trees because we didn't have really any proper facilities. People would go early in the morning to River Chitravati for their shower. Professor A.V. Krishnamurthy, a colleague from Indian Institute of Science, also used to come. And both these families would stay under the trees. And Mr. Prasad says, it was fine. You never really thought that it was inconvenient or it was so difficult. He says that we used to enjoy, in fact, doing this service for Bhagwan, doing the chants to serve Bhagwan was so blissful, it was so rejuvenating that nothing else mattered. How you slept, how you ate was so insignificant. So Mr. Prasad came to Prashantalayam for every occasion. At the same time, as I told you, he got involved in the service activities in Bangalore. He was living in Rajajinagar, and so he would participate in the service initiatives later on to become the Sevadal convener of Bangalore. Professor Kasturi then was the state president of Karnataka, and these Sevadals from Bangalore were doing seva in a leper colony. And Professor Kasturi was likely to visit this initiative. Professor Kasturi, when he came to see this seva that is going on as the state president, he brought along with him some sweets and fruits which Swami had given him. And before Professor Kasturi left, Swami told Professor Kasturi, you get shoes for the lepers done. And you know from where you should get these shoes? The lepers who are now cured are making shoes, and you should buy these shoes from the former lepers and give it to the lepers who are now undergoing treatment and care by the Sevadal. So Professor Kasturi, once he went to see this initiative, he spent some time with the Sevadal, with the lepers, and he asked the lepers what they would need, what they would want. Is there anything that would make their lives easier? And these lepers said, yes sir, we need shoes. And Professor Kasturi said, this is exactly what Swami had told me, that you should get shoes done for these lepers, especially the lepers who are cured now and who are stepping out into the world. They need shoes. And there were 20-25 lepers who were of that nature, who had almost recovered, and they needed shoes for them as they were now going back to society. These shoes have to be custom made. And Swami said the former lepers know what kind of shoes would be good for these lepers because their feet is so disfigured. So Swami said, ensure that the former lepers make the shoes. You pick up the shoes that is made by these former lepers. They are doing it for earning their livelihood. And so, Professor Kasturi instructed these sevadals to buy these for the lepers who are now being cured. So the sevadals bought 50 shoes that have been done by the former lepers, and immediately 20-25 were distributed to the lepers who were now waiting to step out into the society. And Swami had also instructed Professor Kasturi to tell everyone that they should do Namasmarana. Swami said, the condition of lepers is not contagious. We should not keep them at a distance. We should not think of them as people who are infected, people who should be ostracized from society. Swami said, ask them to chant the name, ask them to do Namasmarana. They will be fine. And ask the sevadals to chant the name and do the work. Nothing will happen to them too. So all these moments of service were very, very beautiful and touching moments for Mr. Prasad. He loved doing seva and getting instructions directly from Swami, getting these assurances from Swami, getting these directions from Swami, only spurred him to spend more and more time in service. During 1977, the summer course in Vrindavan was held, and as many probably will be aware, the summer course in Indian culture and spirituality in those days would happen for almost a month, and there would be students from all over the country who would come and participate. And again, the entire public address system was handled by Mr. Prasad. In 1977, after the summer course concluded, there were 630 teachers from Andhra Pradesh who had come for a special training. They were sent by the then Chief Minister of Andhra Pradesh, Mr. Chenna Reddy. Mr. Reddy wanted all the teachers of Andhra Pradesh to understand the importance of value education. He wanted them to spend time with Bhagwan so that they realize how important it is to instill in the youngsters the principles of love, truth, compassion for parents. And so, Swami would speak to these teachers. One day, Swami suddenly wanted to give a discourse to these teachers. It was 11 a.m. in the morning. It was a Sunday. Mr. Prasad would generally be in the Vrindavan ashram every Thursday and Sundays when Bhagwan was there in Vrindavan. And so that day also he had come, and there were no public function planned for that morning. So he was serving in the canteen. And suddenly someone came running, looking for him. And this person saw the counters in the canteen, and he did not find Mr. Prasad there. So he went back to Swami and said, Swami, Mr. Prasad is not there in the canteen. Swami said, no, no, go and see again. He's there. He's not in the counter, but he's there in the kitchen. Go and look for him again. So Sevadal came again running, and Mr. Prasad dashed to Swami's presence, and Swami said, set up the mics. And so Mr. Prasad immediately got into action. He brought the mics and he brought the amplifiers and he did the connections. He placed the mic on the table, and now he was checking before Bhagwan goes to the stage for the program to begin. And for some reason he was not getting the signal. He was checking, and somehow something was wrong, it was not working, and he didn't know what to do. Swami was standing there, right there. Swami was waiting for him to finish the work so that he will go to the stage, but somehow he did all the connections, he set up the wires, he set up the amplifier, but somehow it was not working, so he didn't know what to do, and he just looked at Bhagwan. Swami said, "Hey, go again, check below the carpet." And so he went again, and now he realized, you know, in that tension, he had taken that wire from the mic, and there was this wire from the amplifier, and you know, he had kept both these wires under the carpet, but in this whole process, he forgot actually to connect both. In that tension, Swami was standing there, and he said, "Go check below the carpet." So he went again, and he checked below the carpet, and now did the connection, and it started working. And now Swami said, "Okay, good, it's working now." Okay. And then Bhagwan went for darshan. So Mr. Prasad, these are the moments which unequivocally told him that if the public address system works, it works because of the presence of Bhagwan, it is because of the power of Bhagwan, it is because of the omnipresence of Bhagwan. Swami is the doer. When he makes you an instrument in his hands, then everything will fall into place. We have to remember that he is the doer. He knows everything. He can fix anything. And if something has to work, it will work if his will is there. And this conviction became so strong in Mr. Prasad that from that day, he always used to pray to Swami, "Swami, just make me an instrument." Because he knew that Swami is the doer. He would only pray, "Make me an instrument, Swami. Make me an instrument in your hands." And Bhagwan started giving him so many responsibilities with time. In 1979, he actually became the convener of Bangalore Sevadal. So he had the opportunity on many occasions to walk behind Swami during darshan time, as Swami would be taking letters. He had the chance to assist Bhagwan and sometimes take instructions from Bhagwan, and Swami would give little tasks for the Sevadal in charge to do. And now that he was in the position, one day Swami called Mr. Prasad and said, "See, there are two ladies who will come from Anantapur. There'll also be a man in that group and also a child. So you be at the gate, and when they come, you bring them straight to me." So Mr. Prasad went to the gate and he was looking at people, if anybody was coming as per Bhagwan's description, and suddenly he saw two ladies. And Mr. Prasad thought, "Is it the same that Bhagwan told me about?" But as he heard the two ladies talking, they were talking in Nepalese language. And Swami had told they were ladies from Anantapur. So he thought Anantapur ladies should be speaking in Telugu, but they are speaking in Nepalese language. So probably it is not them, maybe someone else. So he waited there and thought, "Maybe I'll look for another two ladies." And he let these two ladies who were speaking in Nepalese language to pass. Then suddenly one boy came running to Mr. Prasad. And this boy says, "Sir, Swami said, hey, go and tell that Prasad, he's sleeping there. You go and wake him up. These people have already entered the gate. What is he doing there?" And Mr. Prasad was stunned. He said, "Oh my God, so is it the same? These two ladies Swami was talking about." So he suddenly took, because there was actually a man and a child in that group. So then he took them and he went to Bhagwan, and Swami said, "What is this? They have already left the gate and you have no idea. What are you doing there?" And he said, "Swami, I thought that since you said they are from Anantapur, they must be Telugu speaking." Swami said, "I said they are from Anantapur. I did not say that they will be speaking Telugu." Swami said, "You are in Kannada. You are in Karnataka. Do you speak Kannada? Is it necessary that everyone who is in Karnataka should speak Kannada?" And he didn't know what to say. Swami said, that lady is collector's wife. It's collector's wife and sister. The man was an office assistant and the child is the sister's daughter. And we know how collectors get posted to anywhere in the country. So this was one lesson for Mr. Prasad Rao, to pay absolute attention to what Bhagwan says and not allow your mind to think, not do your own extrapolation of what Bhagwan has said. When Swami says something, just follow it to the T and you'll be fine. One more day, Swami said, there's a person from West Bengal who will come. He's a short, stout, fat person. He's wearing a dhoti, and the end of the dhoti will be in his shirt pocket, just like how in the earlier times people would wear dhotis. The one end of the dhoti will be inside the pocket of the shirt, in the kurta. And we said, this person will come from West Bengal. When he comes, go and get him. And this time, Mr. Prasad did not miss this person, this short, stout, fat person from West Bengal. And when the person came, he took him to Swami, and Swami said, yes, yes. So this was one moment when he just did not apply himself to think anything beyond what Swami had said. And Swami was so happy. Another day, Swami said, Prasad, you are head of the Sevadal. You should not speak to ladies. No, he was a Sevadal convener and sometimes he had to give some instructions. But even then, Swami said, avoid, don't speak to ladies. And one thing Mr. Prasad learnt is whenever Swami gives any work, just do not delegate. Do not delegate. He said these are the two mantras that he learnt. Avoid speaking to ladies and do not delegate when Swami gives any work. And that day Swami had told him this. And now Swami gives him a work. Prasad, one lady will give you a bag, you bring it. Now, he's not supposed to speak to ladies. And he's not supposed to delegate the work. How is he going to do this work? How is he going to get a bag from a lady? If he's not supposed to delegate, if he's not supposed to talk to a lady. Swami says, no, one lady. And Swami does not give any more description. One lady will give you a bag, you bring it. And Mr. Prasad didn't know what to do. So the program was over and he was winding up things and he's going back and forth from the console room to the stage, and you know, he was walking that road so many times, but he was not speaking to any ladies because he cannot take that chance to in any way not follow Swami's instructions. And he was wondering what to do, how to make this happen. And when he was walking like that, a couple of times, suddenly one lady came to him and gave a bag. And Mr. Prasad just took that bag and went to Bhagwan. He didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to think how it is going to happen. He didn't apply his common sense, as they would say, to saying, okay, no, probably I should go and speak to some ladies. Is there any lady with a bag? Nothing. He didn't do anything. And it just happened. So that has been his conviction, that when Swami says, just follow it to the T, and everything will happen. One more instance. So one day Swami says, Prasad, go and bring father and sons. So, okay, Mr. Prasad didn't know father and sons. I mean, such a vague description. There could be so many fathers and there could be so many sons in the group. In those days, we had the Sairam shed, you know, where all the devotees would assemble under the tree. And that was the darshan ground. And bhajans are going on and Swami tells Mr. Prasad, go and get father and sons. So he didn't know. And you can't ask Swami. You can't seek more details from Swami. So he just thought, okay, I'll just do what he says. So he just went to one area and he just said, father and sons, anywhere in this crowd, is there a father and his sons? And from one corner, one father got up. Another corner, sons to sons got up. And Mr. Prasad said, okay, you come. And he took them to Swami's presence. And when Bhagwan saw this father and sons, Swami looked at Prasad, gave a bright smile and said, Swami said, Prasad, how did you do it? I did not give you any more instructions. How did you do it? And Mr. Prasad just looked at Bhagwan's feet. Once again, learning reaffirming and knowing it for sure that if you simply follow, you will never falter. All you have to do with Bhagavan is simply follow and you will never miss the mark. That is how it was with Mr. Prasad. So many opportunities that Bhagavan gave him, and he came out in flying colors once he realized what it is to be a servant of the Lord, what it is to serve the Lord. When he used to come every Sundays, every occasion to Prashantane, to Vrindavan, sometimes there would be demands from his wife and his children, and they would tell him many things that had to be done for their family, and Mr. Prasad used to feel unhappy that he was not able to do this. So when he's coming back on his scooter to the Vrindavan ashram, he would be thinking about all this. And then Swami, when he came to his presence, when he came to Swami's presence, Swami would reflect everything that he was thinking. That was again something very interesting. I will share more about this in the coming episode. There are many, many, very interesting episodes about Mr. Prasad and how he is a Prasad to all of us, how his life is truly a blessing for all of us to learn from. And there are so many such souls in Prashantinilayam, in every Sai center, everywhere Bhagavan's glory is being sung. There are so many such flutes, and if only we can make our lives so egoless, so focused, and so clear in our adherence to his words, then our lives too would become that flute which the Lord would so lovingly pick up and place it on his lips, and beautiful melody would surround, filling everyone around with joy, and our lives would become one with his melody. So we'll continue this in the coming episode of Outside Inside, Deep Inside, Beacons of Prashantinilayam. Please feel free to share your thoughts. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Offering with gratitude and love this little endeavor at his feet, we pray to Swami that he allows us to continue this series of soaking ourselves in the life of these beautiful servitors of Bhagavan. Thank you so much. Sai Ram. Mm-hmm.